from the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
Welcome to the Reader's Serial Fiction Show.
Today, we've got a sci-fi space opera by C.P. Knight called Target 10, A Space Adventure. Abandoned planets, alien artifacts, teeny tiny living spaces, three explorers with their own agendas. What could go wrong? Rebby, Jemmy, and RJ are cruising way out beyond known space. They've got a list of targets to scavenge for alien artifacts and debts waiting for them when they get back. If they get back.
C.P. Knight spent the first part of her life in hard science fields with physics as her specialty. She plans on feeding her artistic side by sharing her wild ideas with everyone who will read them. Her serial, Target 10, was a finalist in the 2022 Later Press Genre Fiction Contest, and she plans to take readers on even more adventures. She lives in rural New England, where the magic of clear, dark skies continues to inspire her. When she's not writing, she's focused on her two beautiful, amazing children. And now, a sample of Target 10, A Space Adventure, Episode 1.
Rebby growled at the display. The countdown for their launch window turned red. Less than 5 minutes. Their ship, the Demption, sat on the lowest level of Dinucent City. And on Dinucent, the lower you docked, the less priority you had. If they missed this launch, it would be days until they could get a new one and start the expedition. Not to mention the hit the extended docking fees would make in their almost empty bank account. On the display in front of her, all the indicators read green. They had the supplies loaded, the cargo sold, their computer systems and engines upgraded. She, her brother Jemmy, and their shipmate RJ all had their immunity boosters, and they'd even paid most of the vendors. Not for the first time, RJ had mucked up their perfectly timed plan. She checked the comms for what felt like the zillionth time. He still wasn't answering her calls. She growled again.
Easy, Rebby. He'll make it, Jeremy said through a speaker. And tone down that growl. You're going to scare the new AI.
Don't worry. I've already programmed it to respond to our personalities. Besides, it's supposed to be perfect. That's why it cost us more than our last take. She took a deep breath in. And he deserves it. Just leave it to RJ to fuck it up by literally fucking. She had no doubt he was still passed out in a brothel somewhere. Or he'd woke up naked, alone, robbed of all his possessions. She'd lost count of how many times they'd rescued him. But this time he'd promised. Promised to make it back in time for launch. She pressed a button and brought up the view from the outside camera, half expecting RJ to be standing there, twiddling his thumbs, just to piss her off. Sometimes she thought that was the purpose of his existence. He'd been Jemmy's best friend since they were young children, practically an adopted member of the family. For a brief period, she'd suffered delusions of being in love with him. She shivered. If only her younger self had realized what a womanizer he was or would become. But she was immune to his charms now. His quirky smile, that feigned innocence, brown eyes so soft women melted into them, wavy short hair that matched his eyes were so familiar she never even noticed. Of course, she saw none of these things in any of the outside cameras. She flipped through the public video feeds from various parts of the city and saw nothing remarkable. The timer ticked down to 4 minutes. "Still think he's going to make it?" she asked her brother, who waited patiently, too patiently, in the cockpit.
4 minutes? No problem.
Rebby shook her head. "You realize we still owe Hempties and Zernos for the upgrades? If we get stuck here another few days, they're going to come ask for the rest."
"So we'll pay them,"
Jimmy said, as if they had credits piled up waiting to be used.
With what? There's a reason we only paid the deposit.
We'll work something out.
Ugh, we shouldn't even be having this conversation.
She stepped away from the display in the sensor control room and took another deep breath. She knew she shouldn't let RJ get to her. Jimmy was right. They'd figure something out. She just hated having to do it. Again. She stepped out of the sensor room into the circular common area. In the center was a recreational space with a white couch and two poofy, comfy chairs placed around a low table. When they were out exploring, they spent nights playing games or picking their next targets in that spot. The cleaning bots made sure it looked pristine even after a careless, spill-filled evening. She always appreciated the white, as it reminded her of the beaches she played on as a child. That's what inspired her and Jimmy to paint the walls of the ship shades of blue, interwoven to look like the seas of her homeworld, Azu. But RJ insisted on using his one-third share to dabble green and brown on the walls. He called the effect a landscape. But she just saw random splotches distracting from the calming sea-tone blue. Turning left, she walked through a short corridor also painted with sea-tone blues. At the end was a captain's ladder leading to the cockpit, where she found Jimmy. His straight blonde hair was almost as long as hers. His tawny, brown-skinned hands rested on launch controls. When he turned to look at her, she saw his tight jaw and narrow blue eyes. "You look more nervous than you sounded," she said. "Okay, I'll admit he's making this one a little too close." The holo display in front of him showed the timer click down to under 3 minutes. "Maybe we should just launch without him," she suggested in her most casual voice. Jimmy didn't respond right away, and she understood why. Though they weren't the twins everyone thought they were, she'd always been able to tell how he was feeling. RJ was his best friend. He'd proved himself many times over, and underneath the parade of women he hid behind was a decent, loyal friend. But lately, the parade had taken over and put them and their business in jeopardy. "If we were anywhere else, I'd do it. I'd leave him behind, but come back in a few hours to get him. Maybe the shock of finding us gone would knock him out of whatever's got him screwing around." Mm-hmm. He swiveled his seat towards Ribby. "But we can't. If we leave, it could be days before getting another landing pass, and we'd have to pay for landing and departure again. If we wait, we'll just need to pay for departure and the extended docking fee." She knew everything he said was true, but that didn't dim her desire to leave RJ behind. It wasn't just RJ's actions would cost them more money. "I hate how much he hurts you." Jimmy still had faith in RJ, despite an overabundance of evidence that RJ didn't care about them. Not anymore. The timer clicked to under 2 minutes. She sat down in the co-pilot's seat and put her hand on his knee. "Okay, Jim. We'll stick to our agreement, even if he isn't. But while we're trekking, we'll need to decide if it's time to buy him out." Jimmy turned away from her and back to the launch controls. No, it won't come to that. I'll talk to him. Figure out what's going on." Sometimes her brother was as stubborn as she was. "Is there an issue preventing pre-launch engine start?" said the female voice of the newly installed artificial intelligence assistant. "I've run multiple systems checks and have identified no issues with the dumption."
"No, we're having a personnel issue. Stand by." Jimmy turned back to her again. "Why did you make her sound like Delmi? I hated that old crone." She laughed at the mention of the obnoxious teacher they had when they were young. "It isn't her, I swear. I spent most of my time on customizing the algorithms and not the interface. But you're right, that voice will get annoying. I'll see what I can do during the trek."
The clock ticked down to 1 minute. If we ever leave.
So, JP, let's talk about Pro Writing Aid. And as they say on their website, it is the secret to polished and professional writing. As writers, we make the same mistakes. You use Pro Writing Aid, you can get clear, easy steps to improve your writing so you can share your ideas with confidence. Whether you're doing creative writing, business writing, academic writing, just composing an email and you want to sound smart, Pro Writing Aid will help you.
And 100%.
There's something new. What is it, JP?
So Atticus, which is a wonderful program that includes book formatting, and it is developing aspects for writers so that it can basically be a one-stop shop for writers, has an integration with Pro Writing Aid now. So we've mentioned before that Pro Writing Aid has a lot of integrations with, you know, Google Docs and Microsoft Word, and now Atticus, which just makes that tool Atticus really shiny and nice for authors that are looking for a one-stop place. But it's just the fact that Pro Writing Aid can integrate with so many programs so that you're able to use this sort of last line defense before handing it off to someone. It just makes it so much easier. I love using Pro Writing Aid because then I don't have people that are editing it looking for simple mistakes that I can find using Pro Writing Aid that I can learn from. And instead, they're looking at the deeper content and they're able to notate that. So I just find Pro Writing Aid so nice. So I love it when I hear a new integration has happened.
Absolutely. Check out Pro Writing Aid. It will help you be a better writer. ProWritingAid.com. Use our discount code SERIAL20.
SERIAL20.
So JP, let's talk about Later Press. So Later Press is a platform built to help authors declare their independence. It lets authors create digital books and sell them directly to their readers through their own branded website. And there are new things coming to the platform every day in terms of discoverability and new features. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I put Nerds on Later Press, and it was a really easy and really fast process, which was pretty cool. And one of the cool things was you can put a collection, and then you can put your we put Nerds in the collection so that ideally if we do any spin-offs or if we do any like season two or like specifying those pieces, you can put those books in the collection, which is really nice. And it's a really nice way of like hierarchical pieces to it, which is really cool.
And
it basically gives you your own website. Ours is nrds.laterpress.com. And you just direct your readers straight there and they see Nerds. It doesn't get blocked by anything else. There are no ads in the way. There are nothing. It's just straight up Nerds content for your readers to get straight to reading, which is different than some other platforms, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I did the same thing, although I uploaded all of my books to a collection just so I had one place, you know, to direct readers. And so I have Molecule Thief, Dark is Away, and the Steampunk Emerald Key is up there. So it's one link. People can see all your books and you can order them whatever way you want, you know, or your serials. You can put serials up as well. And and you can do it on a subscription model or pay per book. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, which was a really cool.
Yeah,
the pricing thing was pretty cool. Figuring out either doing per book or some type of a subscription model just to kind of give your readers different abilities to support you, because some people really like the, you know, it's basically like a Patreon, but you just get content to read.
Yep. And the cut is just 5%.
Yeah. So test it out. Try it out.
Yep. Laterpress.com.
See you later, press. All right. So 4 minutes to launch and they have a missing and troublemaking crew member. What inspired you to write this serial?
Well, it's been in my head a long time. It's been kicking around. I wrote it out, like hand wrote the first couple chapters in a notebook, like in 2000s something. I don't handwrite anything anymore, but that's how long ago I did. and the idea for it, I can't really tell you yet because it kind of gives some spoilers. It was originally a twist on a very common idea, but that twist doesn't come till the end. So, I can answer more about, I guess, the characters, the crew that I chose to make this story with. And, I like the dynamic of having three because there's always some chance of conflict and misunderstandings and a lot of room for character growth. And so when I went back to write this for Vella, it'd been sitting in my desk for ages. And I decided when I went to do Vella, I was like, this is the story. I thought I could get it out in like 10 episodes. It could be a short story. I'd just bang it out. But I'm on 35 and it's probably going to be close to 60 before I'm done. So the idea for the characters to the story was I wanted characters that were in conflict, but also extremely close, kind of like family. So two of them are, and the other one's like adopted family sort of. So, and extremely different personalities. Like RJ's one of the reviewers called him a bard. He's sort of like that. He's kind of the suave girly man kind of character. And the brother and sister, Rebby and Jemmy, are both more a little bit intellectual. And I gave them all something that they needed to prove. And that all comes together with the inspiration that I don't want to tell you about. Because awesome. It will come out, but it's not there yet.
Great. So with all of those characters, do you have a favorite character or one that you're really excited for readers to read about and why?
I really love all three of them. I think I'm most comfortable writing in Rebby's point of view simply because we're both female. So I feel I have more validity writing in that, even though I have three brothers and grew up with mostly male friends. So I have some insight, but I still may not get it right. So I'd say probably Rebby. She's the most familiar to me. She's very, she's not a scientist, but she's like super into computers and kind of geeky, which is where much my background is, science and computers. So she's a lot like me in that respect. She's much more smarter than I am. So I'd have to pick Rebby, I guess.
I'm curious, how does that background in science and computers interplay with your writing and how you develop your stories?
It helps and it hurts. I don't like to read and I don't like to write hard science fiction. I feel that there's too much pressure and too many pitfalls in that. It takes so much research if you're going to present it in a way that's believable. So I kind of like it being a little fuzzy because, I mean, there's some stories I look at and I'm just like, you know, if you don't get that fuzziness in there and you get to be too hard, one, it hurts your head to read. Especially if you know, I think sometimes in those cases, if you know the science behind it, it's just, it turns into work. So I don't like doing that. So it's a hindrance in the that aspect of it. Simply because even though I like to make it a little bit wishy-washy and more focused on the characters, I still do a lot of the research to make sure my wishy-washiness will hold up. And I can get stuck in doing that with the research and trying to make it believable without having to spell out every last little thing. So it hurts in that sense that I know what I want it to be scientifically and what it's based on. And I get caught sometimes in that loop. But I think overall it's probably an asset. It's just part of my background that I did for so many years. About 2010, I shifted gears. I left my corporate scientific grueling job and started doing freelance copywriting just so that I could do writing, thinking that would be a good shift for me to get out of the corporate grind. And like about 2018, that wasn't enough either. So I completely shifted as like I've thrown in my towels and everything with my creative side. So the scientific side is still there, but I enjoy more giving into the creativity of everything versus trying to stick to scientific principles.
Nice. So I can't help but notice that you have a Star Trek poster there in your background.
Yeah, I got Star Trek, Legend of Zelda, Star Wars.
You got all of them. That's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. a lot of so science and not so scientific posters back there. So you're talking a little bit about your research. So I'm curious, what's one thing that maybe might never make it onto your page, but that you spent a lot of time researching and developing?
There's a lot going on in terms of consciousness and how that, the science of that. And later on in the story, they encounter, this isn't giving away really much of anything. They encounter some technology that is consciousness-based. So that's, again, a little fuzzy because we don't do that yet. I mean, we literally have to like insert machines in people's brains right now for any of that to work. So I've kind of tried to take that to the next step of what consciousness could do and have consciousness-assisted technology. So there's a lot of studying I've done about that that won't ever make it in there, just because it's I find it terribly interesting, but I think it would just bog down the story, and I want the story to be about the characters.
Cool.
That's really fun. I love it. I'm curious, what is your favorite space opera trope?
The term space opera actually threw me for a loop. I wrote a novella a few years back, posted it to Kindle, took it down because I thought I could do better. And but in that process, somebody called what I wrote space opera. And I didn't know what to think about that at first. So to me, my favorite aspect of it is the size, because it space opera to me is generally covers, there's a lot of moving parts, particularly characters. So I think that's probably the biggest, it's not really a trope, but it just like having, like Dune has, like he can't remember them all. I can't remember them all anyway. If you read the books, there's just so many people and different houses and all that stuff, which doesn't come into play too much in Target 10. It does in some of my other work. It's building that way anyway. Target 10 has a whole lot of history that's more space operate like that, that isn't in this book, but there will be other books that will get into that. So I don't know if that's really an answer, but lots of moving parts, galactic scale, lots of characters.
So what are some of your favorite movies or books that you draw inspiration from?
The movie question always stumps me just because there's so many. I mean, I was 8, I think, when Star Wars came out first. So that was like mind blowing at such a young age. And that was one of the movies that really pushed me to be much more into like space and the future and all the possibilities. I mean, everybody wanted to be a Jedi. I was there. I wanted to be a Jedi. But more importantly, when I started in the 1980s, as I really started focusing more on the science and everything, I was thinking I wanted to be an astronaut. And then I realized, or I found out how they have to go to the bathroom. So I was like, no, I want to be on Star Wars and Star Trek spaceships, right? I don't want to do that now. So I think the Star Trek, Star Wars series in terms of movies, at the age I was at, really made a huge impression. Along that lines, I think from inspiration wise, wanting to create my own universe and all these moving parts, I would have to probably credit Larry Niven and his known space universe. Ringworld is probably the most well-known one of his work. At that same age, you know, I read Arthur C. Clarke and Asimov and all those guys too. More recently, I've probably been reading more fantasy than science fiction or space opera. Love Brandon Sanderson. I know he's got some sci-fi work, but I haven't read any of that. And I just finished the David Baddy trilogy, and I don't know how to say the last name. It's based on it's Middle Eastern lore, and it was extremely detailed, but very fascinating.
So have you had any audience feedback or participation with the story?
A little bit on the Discord forums. I've got some beta readers that I post the episodes up for. The biggest, strongest feedback I got was from one beta reader who really objected to the swearing. Really liked the story, but he thought they were a bunch of foul-mouthed kids. And they kind of are. So I can't argue with that. I mean, that's who the characters are. So I'm sorry I didn't like the swearing. And I actually emailed him back and forth a little bit about it. I think he's still a beta reader, so I guess it's okay.
Very nice.
Awesome. I would love more feedback, but you know, it's just finding actual readers is really hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So is there anything you have either with this serial or with other writing that you haven't explored yet that you're planning to write?
There's so much. I have a lot. There's a character that comes along later in Target 10 that I'm going to write his origin story. I have it all plotted out. I just have to get a few hours or a couple days or a week together to finish it. And I've planned on working on that and releasing it as a Halloween serial last fall, but timing just didn't work out. So it's going to be a little bit darker than what I normally do, but it gets much into the inspiration for this story that the reveal for what the inspiration is going to be in Target 10, but it's not what I originally planned. It's shifted and grown. The story has grown so much and the characters have said this is what they want. So they're going to get that. And I'm going to get more of the origin story of what originally inspired me into this prequel, basically a prequel, which I hope to have out again, maybe fall. I'll get it done and ready to go for Halloween again, because it is a little bit dark. And I've got another one that I'm going to be starting next month, which is it's more contemporary sci-fi. If late 1980s is contemporary, four cell phones and all that stuff that most people know. So it's probably not contemporary, but it's another serial, and it's going to follow a junior physics student and her classmates as they find some really, really strange stuff on a college campus.
Love it.
So. Ooh.
That's excellent.
And there's more too, but I won't bore you with my list of projects.
Well, I'm very interested in the ones you've listed off. So,
well, that's good. That's good to know that they're somewhat interesting.
Yeah. So as a final question, what do you like most about writing serial fiction?
For me, I think it's almost like accountability. Because the story for Target 10, like I said, I started that so long ago. I had some draft chapters. And it was just sitting there. And when Vella came out, I was like, well, why not? You know, just give it a go and have some fun with it. And it's been great for accountability. I did have a pause for a couple months while I had to take care of some other things. But the need to get another episode out, and it's actually writing them in bite-sized chunks like that is turning out to be a lot of fun. So, except for once in a while, there's an excruciating one that just doesn't want to be written. But for the most part, it's been a lot of fun and good accountability. And I have grown to like the format more than I thought I would. Fantastic. When I started.
Great.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice. Thank you for having me.
Our thanks today to CP Knight for letting us share their episode. If you liked it, you can read the first three episodes free on Kindle Vella. Or you can check out the serial on Later Press. The links are in the show notes. And that's a wrap.
Are you watching Star Trek Strange New Worlds yet?
I haven't started that just because I haven't had the time, but it's on my to-do list as soon as I get some time.
mad because it's on a streaming service I don't have, so I have to find a way to get access, just like Picard. Why do you have to do this to me, Star Trek? We have all the streaming
services.
Yeah, we haven't watched Picard because of that, so if it's on this, is it on the same service?
It's on Paramount Plus or whatever. I'm like, who has that? I don't have that.
I have it.
I'm coming over. I'll just be in your basement watching TV for 4 days straight. Okay.
Yeah, I gotta double check. You may not get it. You may not get it either. I don't know.
It makes me sad.
I do have to say the Halo series was really good. Just FYI. Anyone cares?
I'll have to check that out too. My daughter just brought out a couple Halo books the other day. So
I really liked it. It had a lot more characterization. And so I know that like the bro crowd of Halo probably didn't like it as much, but it was so good.
Really like the video game, but maybe I would like that. I'm just a Trekkie, so
just hurt me.
Yeah.
Hurt me.
Yeah, I didn't like the video game either, but I'm kind of a wuss. I don't like the shooting and I can't aim.
I'm not a first person shooter. No.
Give me a puzzle. I can do that.
Did I mess it up?
No, you're fine. David.